Tonight's message is loving those who are hard to love. Loving those who are difficult to love. This month's study is on faith, hope, and love. And it comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul gives a clear description of the God kind of love, what it consists of. You can read in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, for example, love is patient. Love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then at the end of the chapter in verse 13, he writes this, he writes, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. In life, there are people who are easy to love. How many would agree? Amen. They might like the foods that you like. They might dress like you. Maybe they think like you. They're funny. They're easy to get along with. You just want to be around them. It's easy to like certain people in life. Does that make sense? Do you agree here tonight? Yeah. But on the opposite side, there are people in life that are difficult, that are really tough to love. They don't eat the foods that you eat. They don't dress like you dress. Maybe they have a mindset that is completely different from yours. Maybe you're very conservative in your thoughts. And maybe that other person that comes across your path is very liberal. And every time you're around that person, maybe they're spewing out their liberal mindset to you. And you're like, man, every time I'm around this person, I get so irritated. They get under my skin. I can't stand being around them. It's so hard for me to like him. So we all have those people in our lives that are difficult, that are hard to love. Would you agree?
Amen.
Jesus talks about loving the hard to love in Matthew chapter 5. He has a lot to say about this. Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this about those that are hard to love. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. And we're going to go through it verse by verse. And he says this, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." The first part of it, love your neighbor, comes directly from the Old Testament in Leviticus 19, verse 18. But the part of hate your enemy was actually an erroneous addition from the Jewish scribes who interpreted parts of the Old Testament to come up with this idea of hating your enemy. And in verse 44 of Matthew 5, Jesus says this, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you." Tells us plainly. "But I tell you, love your enemies." Love those that are difficult to love. Love those that don't think like you. Love those that irritate you. Love those that get under your skin. Love those that offend you. Love those that have wronged you. He's saying, have the agape love of God for your enemies. See, the agape love of God makes a deliberate choice to love an enemy. The agape love of God makes a deliberate choice to love the person who is hard to love. And then he says, pray for those who persecute you. This is from the NIV. Pray for those who persecute you. And we know that Jesus did exactly this, right, on the cross. Luke 23, verse 34. As Jesus was being crucified on that cross, he said what? He prayed what? Concerning his crucifiers. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the writer to Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." In other words, Jesus is to be our example in life, in living this Christian life. And if Jesus prayed for his crucifiers, his persecutors, we are to do the same. It's plain, it's simple, it's right there in his teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Jesus wasn't saying that as you pray for those who persecute you, you become a son or daughter of God. We know that we become sons and daughters of God by what? By faith and trust in Jesus, right? When you put your faith, when you put your trust in Jesus, you became a son, you became a daughter of God. What Jesus was saying was this, was pray for those who persecute you, that you may appear to others around you to be true children of God by doing the things that resemble God. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may appear to those around you to be true children of God by doing the things that resemble the heart of God. Loving the heart to love, loving your enemies, loving those who irritate you, loving the person who has offended you, resembles God, for God loves all people. For God so loved the world, the entire world. God loves those who have submitted their lives to the Lordship of Jesus, but He also loves those who are far from Him. And we're to do the very same thing. We are to do the things that resemble the heart of God. And the thing that we're to do that resembles the heart of God is to love all people. To love the easy to love, of course, and also to love those that are difficult to love. And when you're loving those that are difficult to love in your life, people around you are going to say, you know what, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. That person really loves God. That person is a true child of the Almighty God. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What is he trying to say here? He's trying to say that God sends his rain to all. He sends the sun to all. It's saying that God loves all. That God is no respecter of persons. In verse 36, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? The tax collectors were feared and disliked. They loved those who loved them. They loved their benefactors. This is selfish love. He's saying, don't even the tax collectors do this. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? In other words, brothers, people of the same nation, greeted each other. You greet me, and I greet you. We're talking about like a selfish love, but the agape love of God is a selfless love. The agape love of God is a self-denying love. The agape love of God makes a deliberate choice to love those that are difficult to love. And then in verse 48, he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, be complete, be consistent as your heavenly Father is complete and consistent. Be consistent in your love walk as your heavenly Father is consistent in loving all the people of the world. How do you, if you would, be consistent in your love walk like God is consistent in loving all? You're consistent in your love walk by loving, of course, those that are easy to love, those that are fun to be around, as well as loving those that are really tough to love, the unlovable, those who have wronged you, those who have offended you, those who irritate you. Is that making sense here tonight? So for the next few moments, we're going to talk about some practical ways of how we can love our enemies. Some practical ways of how we can love our enemies. Imagine, I'm going to give you some hypothetical scenarios here tonight. Imagine that at some point in the past, you lent somebody an amount of money. Let's say you sacrificially lent that person your last $500. And that person told you, you know what, in 2 weeks I'll pay you back the $500. 2 weeks come and go, they don't pay you back. Month comes and goes, a year comes and goes, 2 years comes and goes, and they keep telling you, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back. They repeatedly promise to pay, but they don't pay. So, in your eyes, that person becomes like an enemy. Not only do you feel that they've stolen your finances, but you feel like they're lying to you. In this instance, the natural human reaction is to do what? Would be to get revenge. Would be to get revenge. You know, somebody might think something like, man, I just want to get even with that person. I just want to go to that person's employer and let them know what this person is really like. That this person steals. That this person lies. But loving that so-called enemy would require doing what? Controlling your emotions and not getting even. It would require forgiving that enemy in your life. In Romans 12, Paul writes what? Romans 12, verse 19. Paul writes to the Romans, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." Another translation says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Vengeance is God's. God will make everything right. Leave it in the hands of God. The way you love that enemy is by controlling your emotions and not getting even with them. Not taking out vengeance, not getting revengeful against that enemy. Is that making sense? Leaving it in the hands of Almighty God, because vengeance is God's. He will repay. Amen? I'm going to read you an illustration that goes right along with this on dealing with enemies. Roy Anthony Borges is a prison inmate who, becoming a Christian, had some hard lessons to unlearn. All his life he had been taught to hate his enemies, particularly within prison walls. One of his most vexing enemies was Rodney, who stole his radio and headphones one day while Roy was playing volleyball in the prison yard. It was an expensive radio, a gift from his mother. The earphones had been a Christmas present from his sister. Roy was angry and wanted revenge, but as he prayed about it, it seemed to him that God was testing him. Day after day, Roy wanted to respond violently to knock the wisecrack grin off Rodney's face. But Romans 12, 20 through 21 kept coming to mind. Paul's instruction to avoid vengeance, leaving it to God to settle the score. Roy began to look at Rodney through God's eyes and have compassion on him. He began praying for him. He began trusting God to accomplish something in Rodney's life. By and by, Roy's hate for Rodney began fading, and he found himself helping his enemy and telling him about Jesus. Then one day, Roy later wrote, "I saw Rodney kneeling down next to his bunk reading his Bible, and I knew that good had overcome evil." Isn't that awesome? Amen. Leave vengeance in the hands of God. And when that enemy of yours sees that you bless them when they curse you, that could draw them closer, one step closer to accepting Jesus Christ. Another scenario, hypothetical scenario. Imagine, guys, that your wife left you for another man. Maybe she separated herself from you, divorced you, and left you for this other man. And you're just irate on the inside. At one time, maybe she was your best friend, but now she's become your enemy. And let's say at some point in the future, you're in downtown Tulsa, and you see her on a street corner, destitute. You see her on a street corner, destitute. Loving your enemy, loving that enemy would require you to do what? If she's starving to death on that corner, loving that enemy would require you to do what? It would require you to feed her if it's in your power. It would require you to give her something to drink if it's in your power. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12, verse 20. Verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. You know, everything in our natural human makeup says, no, I wouldn't want to help her. She betrayed me. She left me for somebody else. But if you're going to love your enemy with the agape, God kind of love, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, it would require you, if you found her, if you found that person destitute and starving to death, to feed them. And it's only somebody with the agape love of God on the inside that could step out of themselves and love an enemy. I think at one point or another, we've all had enemies in our lives. Would you agree? Maybe you've got an enemy, somebody really difficult to love that you're dealing with in your life right now. Another hypothetical scenario. Let's say you work with somebody who's difficult to work with. Maybe you're like a manager over this person. Maybe you oversee this person. And maybe this person is never punctual. Maybe this person is always just thinking about himself or herself. How much money they can make in the least amount of time. And it gets irritating to you. That person is getting under your skin. And you're thinking to yourself, man, if I had it in my power, I would fire this person. But loving this person, this so-called enemy in your life, would require you to maybe do what? To give that coworker or that person you're over another chance. You see, we serve the God of another chance. How many would agree? We serve the God who gives us another chance. With God, it's not three strikes and you're out. God keeps giving a person chance after chance after chance to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior up till the point of their death. God never gives up on us. And if you feel like really going to the head boss and really tattletaling on this person, control your emotion. Loving that enemy requires you to control your emotion, control your mouth, and give that person another opportunity, another chance to prove themselves better. Is that making sense here tonight? Amen. Loving your enemy is not an easy thing. It's easy to love those who are fun. It's easy to love those who are charming. It's easy to love those that think like you. But it's not so easy to love those who don't think like you, who irritate you, who get under your skin, who offend you, who wrong you every time you see them, who are sarcastic with you every time you have any kind of interaction with them. But it's commanded in the Word. Love your enemies. Love your enemies with the agape love of God. Make a deliberate choice to love that person who is difficult to love. And you know, in our own human flesh, we can't do it. You might be saying to yourself tonight, God, I can't do this on my own. It's so hard to love that enemy in my life. But God, I pray that you give me the strength. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if you cry out to God, if you pray to God and say, God, give me your grace, your empowerment to love this person who is my enemy, God will give you his divine enablement. He will give you his divine power to love that person who is really tough to love. But you've got to cry out to God. And it all starts with submitting your life to the Lordship of Jesus. Because if Jesus is ruling and reigning on the throne of your heart, then it's easier to love others with the agape love of God. You know, the distinguishing feature, think about this, the distinguishing feature between somebody who just says, I'm a Christian, And somebody who is a true disciple of Jesus Christ is their love walk. Let me say it again. The distinguishing feature between somebody who just says, I'm a Christian, and somebody who is a true disciple and follower of Jesus Christ is their love walk. There is no question about it. Let's see what John writes in his epistle about this. 1 John 4, verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Should I read that again? Did you say? No? You got it? Okay. Everyone, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So if you find yourself constantly wanting to get even or get back at the person who's wronged you, to want to get revenge on that enemy in your life, you've got to ask yourself, is the love of God really resident in my heart? Or you might have to pray, you cry out to God and say, God, I pray that you put your love in my heart towards those that are so tough to love. We're to love our neighbors, those that are easier to love, and we're to love our enemies. The distinguishing feature between just a nominal Christian and a true follower, a true disciple of Jesus Christ, is your love walk. And you've got to get into the Word. You've got to read the Gospels. You've got to read the Word. Let the Word get on the inside of you. It's the washing of the water of the Word. As you read the Word and read about the God of love that we serve, and you submit to the Lordship of Jesus, and you surrender your life completely to the will of God for your life, the agape love of God will become resident within your being, so that it will become easier and easier for you to love those who get under your skin. Is that good news here tonight? Yes.